you ventured out on such a night as this. I was thinking this afternoon and a little bit while ago mentioning some of the men that was going to continue the sermon that we had this morning on stewardship, but I thought I might change it to how to build an ark. But then we decided we probably couldn't find any gopher wood around here anyway. I don't know that we know what gopher wood is, but we're glad to have you here. Glad you're in out of the wet and out of the cold, and we can study a portion of God's Word together this evening. And we want to continue those things that we did talk about this morning about stewardship. We mentioned this morning that all that we have belongs unto God. All that He has provided for us, then all that He has given unto us needs to be used in a way that is pleasing in His sight. He is the owner. And that we as Christians, children of God, belong unto Him. We've been purchased with a price. God provides for us all the things that we need in this life, whether they be physical or whether they be spiritual. In this warfare that we have against Satan, that in Christ we have the victory, all of those things have been provided by God. We also looked at the fact that God doesn't accept second best from us. He wants the very best that we have to offer. Also, that in this life that we are living, it is a seed time for eternity. And we are preparing for that home and that time that we hope that we will be with God. And as we discussed in closing this morning, that we're going to give an account unto God if we are wasteful. We're going to talk some more about that fact in just a little bit at the close of this lesson. But what we want to look at in the beginning of the lesson tonight is what hinders proper stewardship. What is it that would stop us, those things in our life, that would cause us to not give or not render the right things unto God, those things that belong unto Him? I believe the number one thing as we look to ourself and perhaps the world, the number one thing concerning that which would hinder proper stewardship is selfishness. Interest in what I want, interest in myself above everything else. I believe this is the number one thing in our life or anybody's life that would hinder us rendering unto God those things that belong unto Him. We live in a society where this is the main thing, that you take care of yourself. You watch out for number one. If you have an opportunity after you look out for yourself to help anybody else, then that's good and fine. We see this in the home, in the way that the things are going in the home between husband and wife. And the husband divorcing the wife divorcing the husband because they are not satisfied. They're not fulfilled in that particular relationship. They're looking out for number one, and they're taking care of themselves. We see it in our society and the relationship of the family, how that children are growing up to be selfish and look out for themselves, disregarding what others might want, what their parents might want. We see it in business as there seems to be no loyalty between the employee and the employer, that everybody's out to take care of themselves. We see it in government also. All of this is something that is found throughout our society. And as we know, if it's found within the people in our society, sooner or later it's going to be found in the church. And this is something then that hinders that proper stewardship. We are not to be selfish. For example, we see in Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25, as Christ is there talking, and we mentioned this verse this morning, He says to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself." Very plainly, very easy for us to understand what Christ said here. If you're going to follow Christ, then you are going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to put yourself second or third or someplace else. You're going to have to put God first if you're going to be pleasing in His sight. Because once again, when we decide to put ourselves first, then those things that we have, we will spend on ourselves. But once we have denied self and placed Christ first, then the possessions that we have, those things that have been entrusted to us, then they will go in the right way. They'll go to God. He says that man must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. We also see over in Mark chapter 12 in verse 7, there at the in the parable of the vine dressers, where the individual left his vineyard unto vine dressers, a husbandman, and he sent his servants back, and finally he sent his son back to claim that which was his. Those of the vine dressers said among themselves in verse 7, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And that's the way that a lot of people feel concerning what they have. That which God has given unto them belongs to them. And these vine dressers or these husbandmen were ready to kill the sons, the owner's son, in order to have that which was not theirs. But though they wanted it, they were selfish. Many, I believe, as we can look in our society and even among those who are religious individuals, many want God to be happy with what they do. They want God to be so pleased with what they do, but they want to do their own desires. They're not willing to deny themselves. They're not willing to put God first, and they disregard what He wants. But they want God to be happy with what they do. Perhaps this may be the number one reason that stewardship is something hard for people to do. They don't want to give up themselves. They don't want to deny their own desires and their own wants. They want to fulfill them. Another thing that we can look at that hinders proper stewardship is that of laziness. This is something that is condemned by God. It is flatly condemned both in the Old Testament and the work ethic that is given by Jesus Christ in the New Testament. It is something that God does not put up with. But yet we find that this is something that a lot of people do. We have perhaps several workaholics in our society. People who love to do things. They love to work. But just the opposite of that is true. There are a lot of people who are lazy. They don't want to do anything. They want things given unto them and kind of living off of other people. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13, it says there, "The slothful man," and he's talking about the lazy individual, "says, there is a lion outside, I shall be slain in the streets." Well, there's not really a lion outside in the streets. But this man is lazy, and any excuse that would hinder him from working, he's going to go for it. He's going to follow it because he's lazy. Because he does not want to do certain things. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 18. "Because of laziness," or here again slothfulness, "the building decays, and through idleness of hands the house leaks." Those individuals who are lazy, those individuals who are slothful, are those who, when they're given them certain things, when certain things have been provided to them by God, they will not use them in the right way. We are commanded to work by God, both physically and spiritually. God has given us work to do, and we are to do it. But one of the things that would hinder this stewardship is that of laziness. Also, we find that love of money is another thing. Love of money, and I believe this is one of the plagues of many people in our society today. Because it robs God of His proper place in an individual's life, and it places money as a god for that person. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, it says there, Paul does, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." This has become a god with a lot of people. Money and the obtaining of money. And when that becomes first in an individual's life, then they're not going to part with that. They're going to hold on to it, whatever it costs them. And therefore, they're not going to be good stewards with what God has provided for them. We also find that love of pleasure is another thing that would hinder an individual from being a good steward of what God has given. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5, we find that those individuals that Paul talks about to Timothy were pursuing certain things. And they were not pursuing God. They were not wanting to be pleasing in the sight of God. They were putting something else before him. And one of the things that he mentions there is pleasure. And this has become a god in our society. In the United States, in the culture in which we live, pleasure has become a god. And whatever will bring us pleasure, that is the thing that a lot of people are going to go after. And they're going to pursue it relentlessly until they possess it. And when they do that, they have set aside being good stewards in the sight of God. And once again, this can happen to those who are children of God, and we must be aware of these things. We must be watchful in our own lives. There are several things, then, that we mention here that would hinder proper stewardship from in God's sight. We want to look briefly at what is found in Matthew chapter 25 and verses 14 through 30. As we can read here, the parable of the talents, as it is more commonly known to us, the parable of the talents is really a parable of stewardship. And perhaps we don't think of it in these terms most of the time, but that is the case. It is a parable of stewardship, of using that which God has given unto us. As we read in the parable, we find there that as we compare it to the kingdom of God, which is what Christ does, we find that really what he is saying is that God is the owner. God is the one in this kingdom. He is the one that gives unto these individuals certain things. It says in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." We see from the very beginning then, it is a parable, it is a lesson of stewardship and how we are to use that which God has given to us. God is the owner. And we as man have been given the master's goods. And we find in the parable, as we read through here, a wise use and a foolish use of God's possessions. And we also find, as we're going to discuss, that we're going to give an account before God of these things. This is then a parable of stewardship. And as we consider stewardship, and as we consider this particular passage of Scripture here, we find that stewardship involves several things. We might think of it in perhaps just in terms of money. But there is more involved in being a good and a proper steward in the sight of God than that money which we possess, that which we earn, that which comes our way. Certainly it does involve that. As we can read in the parable here, we find that this man who went away into a far country gave unto his servants talents. And we know what, as we study it, we see that what he has provided for them is money. He has given unto them certain things, certain amounts of money that they are to invest and that they are to, when he comes back, return unto him. So we're talking about money. We're talking about talents in this particular place. And God provides for us. He provides for each and every one of us the means whereby we can provide for ourselves and for our loved ones. From time to time, we hear this being spoken by the men as they pray aloud. And we can hear them saying that they are thankful that God has provided them with an opportunity to make a living for themselves and for their family. And we ought to be grateful unto God for that. God has given us the health. God has given us the opportunity whereby we can have a job and we can meet the needs of the family that we are a part of. God has provided these things for us. With the blessings that we have in this country in which we live, oftentimes, we may not think of it in terms such as this, but oftentimes there are things left over. It seems to be less and less left over after every week, after seeing things being taken away from us. But we are so blessed in this country that oftentimes we have more than enough to meet our needs. And first of all, we use what God has given unto us to meet the necessities of life. And those necessities of life must also meet God's approval. They must be according to what He would have us to do. When we also look at that which might be left over, that which extra we have, we also find that this must meet God's approval as to how we are to use that. We mentioned this morning some people have a concept of that which has been given unto them, that they're going to give a certain portion unto God, but whatever is left over, they can use for themselves in any way that they see fit. This is not the way that it is. Whatever might be left over after we've met our necessities, all of these things must also be used in a way that meets God's approval. Stewardship is more than simple contributions that we make. A lot of people have that concept that if they're good stewards, if they return unto God a certain large portion that he has given unto them. It does involve money, but it involves all the money that we spend, whatever it might be in, whatever area it might be in. All that God has given unto us must be spent, must be used in a proper way. Whether we spend money on entertainment, on recreation, on whatever it might be, that money has to be used in a way that God approves, in a way that is pleasing unto him. It is not just given unto us to do with as we want. In 1 Timothy, once again, chapter 6 and verses 6 through 8, we find Paul, again, writing to Timothy, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Now that doesn't sound a whole lot like what people want to do in our country today. But God says we brought nothing into this world, we're going to take nothing out. And as long as we have food and clothing, we are to be content with that. Now God's not saying that there's something wrong in being rich, that there's something wrong in having possessions. There's nothing right or wrong in that. There's nothing virtuous in being poor. But he addresses those individuals who are rich over in verses 17, 18, and 19. And he tells them to use what they have wisely and in a way that is pleasing unto him. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. This is what Paul says to do with those riches that we have, those things that perhaps we might say are left over. Make sure we use them in a proper way. Make sure that we are good stewards of that which God has given unto us. Over in Ephesians chapter 4 and 28, again a passage that is not there, Paul writes to the saints there at Ephesus and says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need." And also, John writes in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, concerning those individuals that we might see who are in need, he makes this statement, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" We're talking about then those things that God has provided for us. In this area of money, it is to be used right in the necessities of life. But even with what is left over, we are to use it pleasing in God's sight and the way that he would have us to use it. If the needs of others are not met and we have opportunity, if souls are lost because we have foolishly wasted what God has given unto us, then we're going to give an account for it. We're going to stand before him in that day of judgment and render an account of us being foolish or unwise stewards. So the scope here, as we can see, excuse me, is that of money. But also involved in this is time. Time is something that we must make the proper use of. It has been given unto us by God. And we would simply ask the question, how is it that we use our time? Notice verse 19 there in Matthew chapter 25. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. There was a time that was given unto them by their Lord, by their master. And during that time, they were to use it properly. They were to use it right. How do we use our time? As we said, all that we are and all that we have belongs unto God. Therefore, all of our time belongs unto Him. It's not just Sundays and Wednesday nights that belong unto Him. All of our time does. We again in our society in the past few years have heard of all different kinds of times that people ought to have. They ought to have quiet time. They ought to have time, quality time here or there. But whatever it might be, that belongs unto God and ought to be used properly. Jesus had times that he needed to get off by himself. We can read about it in his life there in the New Testament. Most of the times when he got off by himself, it was in prayer unto God. But he used that wisely. My life is time. My life belongs unto Jesus Christ and unto God. Therefore, my time belongs unto him. And we need to use it properly. One of the things that made this wise servant wise was the proper use of time. He used that time that was given unto him in a right and in a proper way. The foolish servant was certainly, he was foolish because he didn't use it properly. Perhaps he was thinking that, well, I've got plenty of time. There's no need for me to hurry. And in one sense, we might say that this servant was busy, and yet at the same time, he was lazy because he found a place to hide that talent in the ground and then sat and did nothing. We need to use our time properly as good stewards, whether it be in study, whether it be in recreation, whether it be in our work relationship, whether it be in the family relationship or entertainment, whatever it might be. We need to use our time properly. And certainly all of these things are necessary in our busy lives. We need to have time to study and recreate and work and spend time with our family. But it should be used properly in a way that is pleasing in the sight of God. Also, the scope of stewardship involves abilities. Notice verse 15. There in Matthew chapter 25. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Here is this individual, this owner, this master, looked at his servants, and he gave to each one according to that servant's abilities. We all have abilities. We don't read of any servant here not receiving anything. Of the master looking at that servant and said, well, he doesn't have any ability at all, and I'm not going to require anything of him. We see here all three being given something by their master. And I believe that this is to include all of us. Each and every one of us have some kind of abilities. All these servants receive something. Now, the foolish servant was afraid to use his ability. He was afraid to use that which had been given unto him by his master. And perhaps it was he was afraid of failure. You know, that's something that is common among all of us. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid, perhaps, of putting time and energy into something and then it not doing what we wanted it to do. Or we feel like we have wasted time and energy. It's something that we've just thrown away. We don't want to do that. We don't want to fail. Perhaps it was with this foolish servant that he was afraid of failing. And all of us have this, I believe, to a certain extent. But to some individuals, it just absolutely paralyzes them. They can't do anything, and they won't do anything. We all can do something. We all have been given an ability. And we're going to give an account of how we used that ability that God has provided for us. So in the scope of stewardship, we find that it is abilities also. But it is also opportunities. Opportunities given unto us. Abilities plus time and plus money, all of these things, bring about opportunities for us. Once again, let us note verse 14 and 15. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." And as we read just a few moments ago, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey, according to their own ability. What we're talking about here is the talents that are given, are the opportunities that were afforded these individuals, the opportunities that are afforded us. And opportunities are given to us by God. How we use them will determine whether we're going to be considered wasteful or whether we are going to be considered faithful stewards. You know, as we look back to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, they are a good example to us of wasted opportunities because they were given the richest blessings of God. They were given a law that no other nation had. They were given communion and fellowship with the Father in heaven. They were given a law, they were given prophets to turn them in the right way, and yet they abused those opportunities. They abused those blessings, and they fell away. It happened to them, and it can happen to us. We must look for times and for opportunities to render service unto God and to render service unto others. Paul said in Titus 3 and verse 14, says, "And let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful." We must be good stewards in all of the opportunities that God has given unto us. Not just in those big ones that come along, but also in the very small ones that come perhaps day to day. There are opportunities for us to do good, to spend our time and our money and our abilities in the right way. You know, we think sometimes it's got to be some great big thing that comes along. We've got to convert hundreds of souls to God before we're going to spend our time. But if we read in Matthew 25, the end of the chapter there, the day of judgment and the scene and the ones that are called before Christ and those that are put on the right hand, they did the little things. They were faithful in those small opportunities. And this is what God is looking for. Stewardship then involves our opportunities. And another thing that we want to consider, as we did this morning, and that is we will all give an account. We read it just a few moments ago, but look at verse 19 again. "After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them." There's going to be a settling of an account before God. We're going to stand someday before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account for how we have used this life, whether we've been good stewards or not. As I look and as I read this, I am led to the conclusion that the Lord expected something in return for what he had given them. He had provided them with talents. He had given them according to their abilities. And he expected something from them in return. And I believe this is what God expects of each of us. And we're going to give an account before him on that day. Matthew 13 and verse 23. We find there in the parable of the sower that seed was sowed on the good ground. And it's that he who hears the word and understands it, he who bears fruit and produces it, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. God expects something in return. You know, when we make an investment in time or in money, whether it be in the stock market or wherever it might be, if we have that kind of money, we want something in return. God wants something in return from us also. He's just not giving us blessing upon blessing and then expect nothing from us. He has provided us with all that we have, and He wants something in return. How have we used that which God has given unto us? Have we made good use of it, or have we made poor use of that? What is it? You know, oftentimes we sing songs about laying things down at the feet of Jesus on that great and wonderful day. What is it that we are going to return? What is it that we are going to lay before the throne of God on that great day? Will we return to God those things that we should? Will we return to Him due to the blessings that He has given unto us? Will we return that to Him? Or will we be as the 5-talent man or the 2-talent man? Or that one that was given only 1 talent? Is it that we are going to consume all the blessings of God upon our own lust and have absolutely nothing to show for it on that great day? What happened to the 1-talent man? Well, as we read there, we find that even that which he had was taken away from him and given unto another. What is it that we will present unto Jesus Christ? What is it that we are going to lay at his feet on that great and awful day as we stand and give an account? Is it going to be all the physical possessions that we have gained during the lifetime? Is it going to be that nice, fine home that he has provided for us? Those 2 or 3 cars, those nice vacations that we have had all of our lifetime? Is it going to be those physical things that we have gained? I'm afraid Christ is not going to be too impressed with that. He's not impressed with physical things. Is it going to be that we are going to present unto him a well-rested body, that we have really taken advantage of all of his blessings and we're rested up from all that he has provided for us? Or will it be all of the souls that we have won to him by using properly the blessings that he has given unto us? Is it those opportunities of helping those who are in need? Or is it going to be something else that we will lay down at the feet of Jesus? Will it be those good deeds because of our putting God first? Is this what it's going to be? Is this what God is going to get in return for the time and the blessings that he has invested in us? When it comes to stewardship, some people have the concept that this is not something that is really all that important. It really doesn't matter how you use what God provides for you, just as long as you're not too wasteful. Just as long as you don't do anything wrong with it, then everything is going to be fine. But you know, anything that you can lose your soul over is important, and it needs to be done in the right way. And as we read in the parable here of the talents, here was a man that lost his soul because he didn't use what his master provided for him in the right way. Who is the wise steward? I guess we could say it's the one that used wisdom. And where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. It comes from his word. With the blessings that God has given unto us comes responsibility. We have been blessed perhaps more than any other people on the face of this earth at any time. But how is it that we have used our blessings? Remember, and we all need to remember this, that you can be lost by misusing the very things that God has provided for us, that God has given unto us. We can be lost if we don't use them in the right way. In considering stewardship, all the blessings God has given, let us be mindful of our obligation, and let us be prayerful that we will be good stewards, so that we can not only enjoy this life, but also look forward to the enjoyment of a life with God throughout all eternity. Being good stewards is something that is important. It's not something that is trivial or some matter that is not important as others. Again, if you can lose your soul over it, then it is important. Let us always do what is right. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, a song has been selected, and we're going to stand, we're going to sing it. We hope that there would be one here who would want to render obedience unto Christ, that your faith would cause you to repent of your sins, that you're ready to confess that faith before this good audience here, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. The invitation is open unto all, as all have need of it. Won't you answer God's invitation this evening? Won't you do it as we stand and as we sing?